What you believe most deeply about God will shape all of your experience of Him. What you believe most deeply about God will shape all that you experience of Him.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, that must be a pretty important point because we just heard it twice.
Well, it's worth stating twice, I think.
Yes.
What we believe about God will shape the whole direction of a person's Christian journey. It will shape the culture of a church. This is really bedrock truth that is foundational for the whole of the Christian life and the whole of Christian ministry. And at the very heart of the knowledge of God is the knowledge of the love of God. Yeah. I find myself so often speaking with Christian believers about this issue. Oh, yes, I believe that God is love, but somehow this seems distant from me. We have to get beyond it feeling distant from us.
Yeah.
The love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Paul says in Romans and chapter 5. And we've really got to get hold of that in a fresh and in a living and in a present tense kind of a way.
And that's what our message today is really all about. If you can, hope you'll join us in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 as we continue The Bride and the Bridegroom. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, I want you to think with me for a few moments about the significance of this analogy of the bride and the bridegroom. It runs all the way through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, Gospels, Revelation. God keeps coming back to communicate through this analogy. Why? Because He wants us to know that He loves us. And I want you to think about this with me for a few moments. What you believe most deeply about God will shape all of your experience of Him. What you believe most deeply about God will shape all that you experience of Him. And while God communicates to us that He is, in relation to His people, the great lover, the lover of your soul, the lover of your life, the reality is that many of us live with alternative analogies as to how we think of God in relation to our lives. And let me just give you one or two, and you'll recognize them very, very quickly. By the way, is anyone enjoying the World Cup? Because I'm really enjoying the World Cup, and this is real football now as far as the rest of the world, you understand, is concerned. So thinking about the analogy of, I'll call it soccer here, some folks think of God as the referee. And that is actually your primary analogy. That God is somehow running up and down the field, watching all of us play the game of life and making sure that we play according to the rules. If we break the rules, He blows the whistle and cries foul. If we seriously break the rules, He takes the yellow card out of His pocket. If we do that more than once, He takes the red card out of the pocket and we're off the field, right? And that's how you think of God. Now, if you see God primarily as the referee in your life, it will help you to be a moral person. But it will not do anything to increase your capacity to love. And friends, if you think about it, this is exactly the situation with the Pharisees. What did the Pharisees do? They went through their lives playing by the rules. Why? Because they saw God as the great referee. They were moral people. They did not want to get sent off. They did not want to get the yellow card. They didn't want to commit fouls. And so they pursued a moral life, but they were obviously, as you read the gospel, notoriously, even as you read the gospel, lacking in love, weren't they? Because their entire life was shaped by a wrong view of God. And that's true of many, many people in church today. You see God as the referee, blowing the whistle, keeping the rules. Is that how you think of God? So you're a moral person, but you don't have much love. Other people think of God as a kind of gatekeeper. Think of the officer in passport control when you come in at O'Hare, if you've been traveling in another country, and you show your passport. And the officer checks your passport, and if everything's in order, he stamps your passport and lets you in, and if there's a problem, it's his job to keep you out. Now, if you see God as essentially like the officer at passport control, it may motivate you to a religious life. I want to go to heaven. I certainly don't want to go to hell. What do I have to do to go to heaven? Believe in Jesus. Okay, I believe in Jesus. How many people have made a decision at 5 or 6 years old entirely on that basis, right? I don't want to go to hell. What do I have to do? You say, I believe in Jesus. Mom, okay, Dad, I believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Now, that may be enough to make you a religious person, because what follows is, well, what else does Jesus want me to do? Well, read your Bible, say prayers, go to church, get involved, serve. Okay, I do these things. I don't want to leave anything to chance when I get to the gates of heaven, because I'm going to see the great gatekeeper, therefore I will be a religious person. But here's the thing. It doesn't do anything to increase your capacity to love. It actually leaves you like, you know, the character in the Gospels who was very like this was the rich young ruler. What do I have to do to get eternal life? Just tell me what I've got to do. I'll do anything. Except it turned out he wasn't quite ready to do anything because he didn't have any love for Christ in his heart. Think about that. It is possible to be very religious and to have very little love. That was the rich young ruler. Then there are other people who see God as a servant. That one goes like this. If that's the way that you think of God, and many, many people in our culture today have really bought into this, that God is there basically to give me the life that I want. And his job, we give job description to God, as it were, is to answer our prayers. And here's what I want. I want health. I want work. I want marriage. I want children. I want money. I want grandchildren. I want long life. I want happy retirement, etc., etc. God, here's the list. And I'm marking off the list. And you owe these things to me because I have really lived a good life and I deserve it. And so God becomes the servant, and that's how you think of him. And whenever something on the list doesn't get checked off, guess what happens? This is the fastest way to becoming a selfish and a bitter person. We all know people like that. And its root is in an entirely false view of who God is. You know very little about love. Now, friends, here's a concern that's at the heart of this series as I prayed about it and prepared it. There are many people in church who see God as the referee or as the gatekeeper or as the servant. In fact, they're in church precisely because they see God as the referee or the gatekeeper or the servant. And I'm asking you in this world of confusion about who God is, what do you know about God who is the lover of your soul? Because what he communicates in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, time and time and time again, is when you want to think God, think love. Think love. Because that is the very heart of his relationship with his people.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Bride and the Bridegroom. And we're going to pause right here, but we'll get back to this message from Ephesians chapter 5 in just a moment. Well, how well do you know the Bible story? I don't mean different stories from the Bible. I mean the story of the Bible. You know, the Bible is one story that begins in a garden, it ends in a city, the whole way through it points to Jesus. And we put together a section of our website called Open the Bible Story that will help you get a better understanding of the entirety of the storyline of the Bible. We've got three different journeys that will take you through the Bible story. The first is a 3-session journey, introducing you to 5 people from the Old Testament, five events in the life of Jesus, and five gifts that God gives to every Christian. Doesn't matter how much or how little you know about the Bible, this is a great place to start. We also have a 30-session journey that takes you through the peaks and the valleys of the Bible story, and a 50-session journey that will help you dig deep into God's Word, and there are questions at the end of each session for group discussion or personal reflection. You can find out more about this when you visit our website, Open the Bible, and click on Open the Bible Story. Well, let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
So we're into the last few minutes now, but turn back with me just to what we read in Ephesians in chapter 5. And I just want you to see in these last few minutes how Jesus Christ really loves his people so well, so well. There are five very simple words here that speak about what his love does in the life of one of his own children, someone who's come to say, I know and believe that God is love. When that's your position in life, look at what his love does. Think about his love cleansing you. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. A believer coming to Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness will never hear Jesus say no. Isn't that marvelous? You'll never have the cold shoulder. He never holds a grudge. He never brings up old wounds. He never picks at old sores. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. See how practical that is? And not just husbands, by the way, because although it's stated specifically here, it's certainly not exclusive. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And his love for all of us is a cleansing love. And so we are to love one another in that kind of a way. Do you see his love, how it not only cleanses you, washing guilt from the condemning courtroom of your own heart and washing guilt from the presence of God in heaven, he cleanses. And not only that, his love sanctifies you. What that means, just to put it another way, it would make you flourish. The love of Christ makes you more. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her. Christ will make more of you than you can ever make of yourself without him. Christ will cause your life to flourish in a way that your life can never possibly flourish without him. Give yourself to following him and see what he will make of you. And think about how Christ's love nourishes you. Verse 29, no one ever hated his own body, but nourishes it, just as Christ does the church. The love of Christ builds up the Christian believer. The love of Christ gives you strength to face the toughest circumstances of your life. Think about this at the end of Romans chapter 8. Paul says, can you imagine a tougher circumstance than this? If you're facing a tougher circumstance than this, I'd like to know what it is afterwards. But here's what Paul says I'm facing. For your sake, we are facing death all day long. That's pretty tough, right? Then he says, but in this, we are more than conquerors. How? How in all the world could you be more than conqueror in the face of something that bad? Answer, because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how I'm able to stand this week. That's how you're able to stand this week, because you're given strength, you're nourished on the inside by this inexhaustible love of your heavenly Father poured out in his Son and now poured out through his Spirit into your life on a daily basis. In Think of how his love cherishes you, values you. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. I'm just picking out the verbs here, just as Christ does his church. So specific statement about Christ and his people, he cherishes us. Think about this, brother, sister. There is never a moment in your life, and never has been a moment in your life, when you were not the conscious object of the love of Jesus Christ. There is never a moment in your life where Jesus Christ is not consciously directing his affection towards you. That's what the word cherish means. You're of such great value. You know, there may be others who may say in this world, and you may have heard someone say this, nobody really cares about me. But if you're a Christian, you will never say that. You cannot say it. Because you are at every moment of your life the focus of the affection, the cherishing of Jesus Christ. And then the last of these here, his love cleansing us and sanctifying us and nourishing us, strengthening us and cherishing us, and then eventually presenting us. Look at this. Christ loved the church. He gave himself for her so that he might present the church to him in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is amazing. We had two weddings in the church today. And why is it that every time we have a wedding, we bring death into it? Have you noticed that, by the way? The vows, till death us do part. Why would you do that, really? I mean, there's this lovely couple and they're enjoying their day and we stick death in the face, you know? Why? Because every relationship in this world has a beginning and a middle and an end. By the way, that is why you must value every relationship God has given to you. Never take it for granted. Love to the best of your ability. But Jesus Christ comes and he pledges to you a love that will never end. He does not say to you, till death do us part. He says, I will love you in life and I will love you through death. And then I will bring you into the splendor he speaks about, glory. And when you get there, I'm going to bring you in faultless. And all the draining and wearing effects of life that have caused wrinkles in you, they'll all be gone. They'll be behind you forever. And I will welcome you into the glory of my presence, and you will be more beautiful than at any time in your entire life. If you're a Christian today, think how happy you can be because you are loved like this. Think how blessed you are to be loved like this. The love of Christ cleansing you, always sanctifying you, always nourishing you, strengthening you, always cherishing you, always. And then at length bringing you into glory forever and forever and forever. This is the love with which he has loved you. And Christ endured unspeakable agonies so that this could be yours. And think how well, therefore, you can now love God in return and now begin to reflect this love with which you have been loved to others. We love because he has first loved us, and it is an amazing love. And if you've not yet committed yourself to Jesus Christ, I am really wanting to press this question in the last minute on your mind and on your heart. Why in the world would you push this Jesus Christ away? I can understand why if it was just morality, you'd say, I don't want that. I can understand why if it was just religion, you might say, I don't want that. I would understand why if it's all just about God somehow being your servant, you might say, you know, I don't need that. I can do it myself. I don't need a servant. I'll make my own way in life. I don't need a God to try and help me. I could understand that. But what I cannot understand is why any person in this service would possibly look at the love of God in Jesus Christ poured out and say, I don't want that. Or look at what he accomplished on the cross, where he died as a propitiation for sins, and for you then to say, I don't need that. I cannot understand why you would do that. Here's Jesus Christ, and whoever you are, young, old, he's saying to you in love tonight, I'm ready to be yours. He's holding his hand out to you in the preaching of the gospel. He's communicating his love for you right now. Why would you not therefore say, I'm going to be done with my unbelief and I'm going to put my trust in him. I'm going to be done with living for myself and I'm going to live for him. I'm going to move towards the Savior now who is reaching out to me and he's going to be mine and I am going to be his. And that's going to be how it is for my life. And that's how it'll be for me in my death. And that's how it will be for me to all eternity.
Well, it's our hope and our prayer here at Open the Bible that that is how it will be for you for all of eternity, that you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You've placed your hope and your trust in him. You've accepted the grace and forgiveness that he offers to you. And if you have done that, I'm sure as you have listened to today's message, you've been encouraged through what you've heard. But if you don't know Jesus in this way, and you'd like to, I hope you'll contact us here at Open the Bible. We have staff members who would love to talk with you about how you can know Jesus, how you can have that personal relationship with him, know your sins are forgiven, and know that you are his. You can contact us here at Open the Bible by calling 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Well, this message that you've been listening to today, The Bride and the Bridegroom, is the first in a series we're calling Loving and Being Loved by Christ. And if you want to make sure you don't miss a future broadcast in the series, you can come and you can sign up to podcast the program. You could also listen on the go to Pastor Cullen's teaching by getting the Open the Bible app. It's free. You'll find it at your favorite app store or link you to it through our website, openthebible.org. Also on the website, you're going to find our daily devotional material, opportunities to go back and listen to broadcasts you may have missed, and a chance to take a journey through the entire Bible story. I hope you'll spend a little time at the website and check out all we have for you there. Our website address, again, is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you this audio series, The Lord is My Shepherd, based on the 23rd Psalm. And Colin, why do you think Psalm 23 is so well known and so well loved?
Oh, I think because it's all about what the Lord does for us. That's why it's so wonderfully, wonderfully encouraging. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's a given for all who are in Christ. And then the psalm opens up what it actually means, that because he's my shepherd, because I'm wholly owned by the Son of God, he will always lead me, he will restore me, he will guard me, he will feed me, and he will love me forever. And I find this psalm to be one that I come back to again and again, as so many other believers do, because it's so rich. When we need encouragement, we want to look up to who the Lord is and all that's ours in him. And that is richly laid out for us in this wonderful, wonderful psalm.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this audio series, The Lord is My Shepherd, is our way of saying thanks for your support. You can find out more or give a gift online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or our website again is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program's a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. What you believe most deeply about God will shape your experience of him. Find out how next time on Open the Bible.